Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many of us run life's race crippled by bad habits. We know they're wrong, but we find ourselves in patterns we cannot break. Know this, there is a way out. For some biblical help, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a life-changing series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. From Ephesians chapter 4, here is Pastor Lutzer with part 2 of Breaking Stubborn Habits. Habits beginning with lying.
Falsehood is the way of the world. It belongs to the old life. What do? You put it aside, and instead you are clothed with what? You begin to speak truth. You see, the answer for falsehood is truth. That seems so basic, but you know that that's true. Because if you were to speak truth every time you were tempted to lie, or every time you did lie or exaggerate, you were to say to the person, excuse me, and you go back to them and confess your sin and ask them to forgive you for what you've said, you would soon begin to speak truth. And there are people today who find it so hard to speak truth because they are still bound by their old life. And you know, it's so easy for us to speak error, not just by outright lying, but by exaggeration. The Lord has sometimes had to rebuke me for that. You know, you're telling a story, and if you just add a little detail that's just an addition, but it makes such a better story. I mean, something is missing unless you add that little bit that really didn't happen. Now, notice that the motivation ought to be, he says, because we are members one of another. That's why we ought to tell the truth. You begin to lie, you hurt yourself, and when you hurt yourself, you hurt the body. There's just no way about it. If my body began to lie, if I began to say, if my brain, my mind, to speak more accurately, were to say to my hand, would you please rise, and the hand deceives and doesn't rise, I'd be in trouble. You think it's tough watching me now. You just see what it would be like then. So Paul says, lying, cast it aside, speak truth. Number two, what about your temper? It says, be angry and do not sin. It's all right to be angry. Mark chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus was livid with anger when he saw the hardness of their hearts. One of our problems is that we can't get angry about the things that ought to stir us and make us angry. But Paul says that when angry, do not sin. So you see, you cast off that outer garment called the hot temper. And particularly in marital relationships, how important it is that that be cast aside. And the answer is, deal with all of the issues that come up through communication. Learn to communicate. Learn to solve the problems that cause the anger. And do it before the sun goes down. Don't let that anger fester. My wife and I have sometimes had disagreements, and we've gone to sleep without them being resolved, and that's tough. That's tough. Oh, I feel so sorry for marriages where that happens all the time. And how I thank God for my wonderful wife who's sitting right over there. Because I'll tell you, when God gave her to me, he gave the most precious gift he could ever give to a man. And we have had to learn that when difficulties arise, and she and I do not always agree, that when difficulties arise, they must be dealt with immediately, because if you let them fester, they will always grow and be magnified, and it will be totally out of proportion. And that's what he's saying. He says, cast aside that hot temper, that anger, and put on, what does he say? The ability to resolve the issue. Now, parenthetically, some people have a hot temper because the issues that cause them anger are deep down inside, almost at the level of spirit. Perhaps it's rebellion against their circumstances. They may be rebelling against their parents. They may feel that they are failures. They may hate God because of the way they look. All kinds of things, and suddenly here's a man who's a volcano just waiting to go off. The slightest thing sets them into a tizzy. And the real root cause could be any one of the things I've listed or guilt. But down there, he's to deal with the things that are causing the anger. Third, stealing. It says in verse 28, let him who steals steal no longer. Punctuation is very important. You heard about the thief who read this verse this way. Let him who steals steal. No longer let him labor with his hands. You know, it's easy for us to say, well, I haven't broken into a store, so I don't steal. But you know, there are people who steal from their employers because they don't work a full 8 hours. There are people who steal from the government. We'll hurry over quickly when we speak of that. There are people who steal from God. Malachi says, will a man rob God? The answer is yes. People often do it in their tithes and offerings. There are people who gamble. They steal in these ways. And notice what the answer to stealing is. You cast that garment aside, and what do you put in its place? He says, let him work with his hands. You say, well, I don't have a job. I'm sorry, but it doesn't say, unless, of course, the economy is bad and you don't have a job, then don't work with your hands. That is not in the text of Scripture. It might be in the reversed vision, but it's not in my translation. There are too many people today who aren't willing to do absolutely anything to have a job, and I mean anything, unless, of course, it's immoral or wrong. And as a result, they fall into the temptation of stealing, not because of hunger. You know, there are a lot of people who are wealthy who steal. It is because, first of all, because of laziness, and secondly, because of greed. And so the answer is, work with your hands, says Paul, and give. That's what the text says. You have a temptation to steal, you begin to work at whatever thine hand findeth to do, you do it with all your might, and then you begin to give generously. And every time the offering is taken, give a little bit more than you think you can afford. And you know that that will take care of your habit of stealing. It's what the text of Scripture teaches. Well, let's keep moving on. What about blasphemy? Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Somebody who can't control his tongue just seems to be out of control. I just say whatever comes into my mind. I give people a piece of my mind. Listen, don't ever give someone a piece of your mind unless you're absolutely sure that you can get by with a little bit that you have left over. What does the text say? Limit your conversation to that which is good for edification according to the need of the moment. Say, my, if we did that, it would be very silent. Well, maybe we need some silence, that it may give grace to those who hear. When I was in Bible school, there was one of my colleagues in the classroom who suggested I memorize Psalm 141, verse 3. And it was a good rebuke. I guess in those days I spoke a lot. Because it says, set a watch before my mouth, guard the door of my lips. Have you ever done that? And you know, it only happens when hell is taken out of the human heart. Because the Bible says that the tongue is set on fire of hell. Your tongue, which wants to gossip, which wants to cut, which is so interested in faults of other Christians. You just want to sniff out everything you can. See, there's a real problem there. Well, the answer is limit your speech to what is edifying. Then notice also it lists bitterness. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. You say, well, what is the answer to that? It's in verse 32. Be kind one to another. Choose to forgive just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And just as Jesus Christ absorbed our hurt, so that we would be off the hook in our relationship with God, in the very same way we must be willing to absorb the hurt of those who have wronged us and set them free that we might be free of all bitterness. And the answer to be free of bitterness is for us to be focusing our attention upon Jesus Christ and what he has done in our behalf. So what does Paul say? He says, first of all, you have a new nature. Secondly, he says, you need some new clothes. Cast off those old habits. You say, but Paul didn't list mine. He doesn't say anything about alcoholism or smoking or perhaps some form of immorality. You can fit in whatever you want to fit in here. It works the very same way. You begin to live up to the new nature that has been created within you by a miracle of God if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Then notice third, he says, you need a new sensitivity. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by which you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. Isn't it tragic to live with a roommate that you can't speak to? Just no communication at all between the two of you. You sit there and you have long discussions about nothing. Total silence. Because there are all kinds of hurts and feelings that are unresolved. Isn't it tragic to have a marriage where there is no communication? But isn't it even more tragic to have the Holy Spirit of God within you, but he is grieved and therefore there's no communication at all? Notice that the Spirit does not become angry, the Bible says, but the Spirit becomes grieved. And the word that is used there for grieved indicates the real sensitivity of the Holy Spirit of God. Just to think that when we go on in our sinful habits, we are, as it were, running roughshod over the Holy Spirit, acting just as if the fact that he is within us doesn't matter at all. Thinking to ourselves that we can do things in secret that we would never do in public because we are more concerned about what people think about us than we are about what the Holy Spirit of God thinks about us, and in that way grieving him, for he is a person and he feels hurt when his inner promptings are disregarded. Paul says, don't grieve the Spirit. And how do you do it? By not casting off the old life. Spirit of God is hurt.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. I trust that as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I might become more sensitive to the blessed Holy Spirit of God. We pray that we shall not grieve him. But you know, it is true that we struggle with sin, don't we? I've written a book entitled How to Break a Stubborn Habit. And I did that because I do believe, and perhaps you've heard me say this before, that there is victory over the cycles of sin that oftentimes are in our lives. I think that you'll be blessed as a result of this book, but also your friends, as they read it, they'll be encouraged to walk in victory rather than constant defeat. For a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you. It's entitled, How to Break a Stubborn Habit.
Lying, stealing, a bitter tongue, these are footholds for the devil to ruin our lives, and they are things we can say no to in the days ahead. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of Breaking Stubborn Habits, the first of four messages on how to say no to a stubborn habit. Next time, more ways to break those bad habits. All of us have bad habits, and these can be tough to overcome. How to Break a Stubborn Habit is a book by Pastor Lutzer that shows the path of victory over temptation. We'd like to send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.